Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
All right, welcome in to the OBR Film Breakdown. I'm your host, Jake Burns. We are checking in on Tuesday night, talking about the crazy news in the NFL. Well, there's not much news in the NFL right now, folks. There's really not. There's really not much with your Cleveland Browns. It is the beginning, as I say on every episode, of the dark times of the NFL where there's just not much going on. Not much news to be broken. Not many talking points to go through. So we will create our own talking points over the next, you know, month and a half here. We're going to have uniforms ranking discussion coming up in the next 2 days. Quarterback tiers. We have AFC Contender Series, which got bumped tonight because the guest from the Bills bailed on us. So, you know, put a bad hex on the Bills. He had some things come up. He'd hopefully join us tomorrow night. But we'll keep doing as many creative things as we can. I have a couple great ideas from you guys, the listeners, who I think have done a really great job sending over some concept ideas that you think would be fun to listen to. We will get into those at some point as well. And then we will, as July starts to get going, as they start to creep back toward Cleveland at the end of that month, we'll start position-by-position breakdowns, going through previews, fits, all that fun stuff. So hang in there. We're going to get to the fun stuff eventually. I do want to talk with our guest tonight, who his name's Corey Kennan. I've had Corey on before. I think he does a great job breaking down college prospects, NFL games, conversation points, data points. He's a great follow. He's at Real Corey Kennan. That's two N's in the middle of Kennan. You should follow him. I think he does a good job. And wherever he's been at a couple different places, and I'm excited to see where he eventually goes to cover, you know, the NFL and college ball this year. Corey, how are you, man?
I'm good. As you said, just kind of laying low for a little bit. It's nice to have a little hiatus, get back to doing things on my own time. But I'm definitely looking forward to, again, whatever's next. But for now, I'm good.
Hiatus sounds good. I'm going to be honest with you. It sounds real good. But let's talk, man. This is a serious conversation about a serious topic. And I'm a firm believer of we all lead weird lives on this earth. We get one of them. You know, these lives are filled with tough decisions. They're filled with regret. They're filled with mistakes. They're filled with trying to make other people happy around you and thus making decisions based off that. And in professional sports today, as much as I think society has made a turn for really positive feedback, and I was really pleased with the feedback, at least in the little small social world of Twitter, with the news from Carl Nassib that he came out openly gay. And that is a super rare thing, because before we came on this podcast, Corey and I were kind of going through other sports leagues about any other openly gay athletes, and there's very little traction. The names we came across in baseball were not the Billy Beane that we know as the famous GM across the history of the Oakland A's. It's a different Billy Beane. The other name we just talked about 2 minutes ago, I can't even remember. Michael Sam in the NFL, who we remember came out before the combine and into the combine, the draft process, did get drafted, didn't make a final roster with the Rams. And then one of the Collins twins in the NBA, the only other one. There is no doubt in my mind, Corey, that there have been other gay athletes in these sports and they've just not come out. And that is why what Carl did, and you know, he was, I don't even know if Carl knows how big a deal it is. I don't know. Because if I'm going to be honest, I had no idea. And, you know, sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. And I was on the way, hey man, that's out of left field, but God, that's awesome. And you're happy for him because we saw him up close and personal in Cleveland and we got to know him. Everybody seems to remember him from the HBO's Hard Knocks, the financial literacy speech. And Carl was a pretty confident. I guess there's really no knowing this stuff, man. We don't know enough about these guys' personal lives sometimes. But I just never would have guessed. And I don't mean, and that's just me not thinking about it. That's just, like, I just didn't think. I don't think about these guys in that way sometimes. So, like, I heard it And he seems to be in a great place. He drew awareness to the right causes, where he donated $100,000 to help me out there. Do you remember the name of that?
Yes, charity? It was the Trevor Project.
Yeah, which is so great, man, because the statistic he shared about just getting acceptance from one person in your life when you come out as openly gay, it is a 40% reduction in suicidal thoughts or suicidal actions. And that's huge, man. Like, that's huge. Corey, I'm a big believer in everybody should be happy. And that means if you want to pursue the same sex, if you want to change sex because you think you should be something else, I just want to see everyone be happy. That to me is the above all else. And I came from small town Ohio. It was, you know, 2007 graduate. It was the terrible language was prevalent, not in a nefarious way, I would say, but just a part of culture. Like, if I look back at Facebook from like my early college years, 08, 09, like some friends wrote on my wall some stuff that, like, if they said that word today, they'd be like, what are you doing, man? It's just, I like that it's changed a lot, and I like where culture's gone there, and I'm really happy for Carl. I think he seems at peace with it, and he's not just a guy. He's a dude. He's a player. He's an NFL roster player. He's a real dude, and that matters too, right?
It does. It does. So I hope, especially when we're talking about the NFL, which is pretty classically understood as, or like historically, people say like, oh, football, like that's where like the manly men play football. Mm-hmm. We don't care about CTE. We want to see hard hits. Like, there's a different context to that. I think I would like to get to a place where it happens before guys get their second contracts. Good for Carl. He locked down his money, but I wonder if part of that was strategic as well. Like, I need to get this contract before
I say
something. Yeah. And I hope we get to a place where that doesn't happen. But it's definitely huge. I mean, the guy has 37 career starts, so it's different than a guy. I mean, definitely still courageous for Michael Sam, but it has a different impact, I think, when it is the first active roster player, a guy who has 37 starts under his belt. Nothing but love for Carl Nassib. Nothing but respect. Good dude. I'm happy for him. So yeah, for sure.
I guess what was jarring to me is I don't know if the word jarring is right. I was really surprised about that. I guess, like, looking back on it, it's like, okay, cool. You know, I didn't know that about him. Had no idea. I mean, I was up close and interviewed Carl. I was, you know, a foot away from asking questions. And there are sometimes, I think, and I played with guys in the college level who came out later, and I was like, yeah, I could kind of tell. I mean, and that's okay. Like, I don't care. It was never a level of discomfort around anybody at that time. And that was, again, like 08, 09, 10 area. And I just didn't know. I didn't have any idea with Carl. And he's just kind of like the buzz cut all American looking guy. And I just think that since I've sat down to think about it and I wanted to talk about it tonight, is how rare it is. It just, like, I know that a part of it, Carl just seems kind of like a no-nonsense dude. He's always kind of been that way from times you could tell, talk to him. He just never beat around the bush. He was always like very matter of fact about the way he answered questions or the times he's up in front of people talking, as we saw on HBO. Like, I just didn't realize how rare it is. And I'm kind of sad about that, about Carl Nassib feels like it should be like just another of a long line, but he's the front of the line now. And it's pretty rare. And it's kind of sad because he said in his speech on Instagram that, you know, I'd like to get to the point where someday we don't have to do this. I don't have to make an announcement about this. And I hope they get there. I hope the world gets there too. And I genuinely think we've made strides. I don't hang out with younger folks, so I don't know what the crowds are talking or how they're talking to each other. I don't know. I have nephews who are, you know, 14, 15 going into high school, and I don't hear them use that stuff. I don't think it's as prevalent as it used to be, especially the harsh language, things like that. I do think there's still a stigma from some areas, some small town areas. There's ugly parts of this country. There's no doubt about that. But it feels like the environment's getting better. And I hope Carl is the guy we look back on this in 10 years. And it's like, oh, yeah, I remember Carl was the first one. And now we have all of these other folks who feel comfortable being themselves, because that's all we should want, man, is guys to be able to feel comfortable being themselves and not feel judged or feel uncomfortable. And I like that Carl is a player. He's a real dude in the league. He's not, you know, Carl's not a Pro Bowl player, but he's a real rotational player. And like I said, man, that matters, because it's not like he can just be dumped. If you dump Carl Nassib now, it's like your intentions are pretty clear. You know, it's not you can't just get rid of him. So I think that, like you said, he was strategic about that, and I think that that'll help. Like a guy being in the league 4 or 5 more years, leading the forefront of this thing, could be hugely impactful, right?
Right, and I just hope it gets to a point where like players don't have to feel like it's going to impact their future money or their future draft status or anything like that. So I think that's kind of where it was more strategic for Carl, is if he would have said something like this on his rookie deal, what would his second contract have looked like? I mean, the dude got $10 million a year last offseason. So I would just hope we get to a point where like guys aren't worried about their future outlook being impacted by a personal, by who they are as a person. So,
And I like the support from the NFL world that you saw.
Oh, he's gotten a lot of very good support. Yeah.
Yeah. There will be some guys who say, I would imagine if you mic'd Carl up all year, there would be some things that are said that we won't love. But I think that for the most part, it seemed positive when it could have been ugly from the start. I haven't really seen any of that stuff. So like I said, I'm sure it'll come. I don't know if it ends up opening a can of whatever the future can, you know, spill a nice way into the future with this whole thing. I hope that happens. Certainly not guaranteed, but I hope it does. And I'm positive about that. And I think you should be too. I think we should all just want everybody to be happy at the end of the day. I can't say it in any other way than, you know, why would you wish for somebody to not live their best life? We get one chance on this earth, man, and you should live it every second, openly and comfortably, whatever you are, whatever your decision is. And I hope that Carl can find happiness, and I hope he plays well, except for one game next year. I hope he plays well and has a great year and is a focal point of that. So, okay, we're going to switch topics, but before we do so, I want to give a quick word from our sponsors.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Listen, we gotta find some talking points. I think Pro Football Focus, give them hell for their grades, Corey. They drive the conversation points, and sometimes to the point where you roll your eyes, right? But like, they drive conversation, and a time like this where we need some conversation. John Johnson checks in. They're doing a top 50 list. He checks in at number 41. He's the first Browns player on there, which is great. To pick up a top 50 NFL player in free agency is great, and especially not to break the bank. So right. I did like that. Does it feel right to you that he checks in around 41? And then B, what other players do you think remain on this list for Cleveland?
Yeah, so I think 41 sounds good. Like, I want to start thinking about it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, 41, that seems low. But then I think like, well, how top what of his position is he? And it's like, okay, top 3 to 5. Okay, and then there's what? 10 different 20, positions. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So you're like, oh, okay, well, that's 50 right there. So yeah, 41 sounds good. And so like, that's kind of the lens that I'm trying to think of. Like, okay, who else is like top 5 at their position? Who could be on this list? And I think there's maybe 3 that might come up. Mm-hmm. I would like to say Baker, because Baker's an analytical darling and PFF loves Baker Mayfield. And I think he was like their 8th overall quarterback by the end of the year. But 8th overall quarterback's probably not cracking a top 50 list league-wide. So I would say Miles is for sure on the list. I don't think there's any way Miles can't be on that list. So that's the glaring one that's like, okay, yeah, he's in there somewhere. Nick Chubb is probably on there too. I think PFF has him graded as like their top running back, perhaps. I think I could be off on that.
Surprisingly, he graded worse last year than he ever has for them, which, you know,
really,
grading running backs is so hard. I think it's one of the hardest things that they could possibly grade, because it is the most subjective. Oh, he should have cut there. Oh, but technically he's reading A to B, and he shouldn't cut there because that's not the you know, it's like, running back grades are tough for me. So like, he was grading poorly in some games where I was like, dude, he dominated that football game. I don't understand how they're saying he didn't play well. In the, I don't know. But anyway, I do think Nick has a really good chance to be on there. There's a couple more might come to mind for me. I'm going to see if you have them.
I have two more as well. So I think Wyatt Teller had a dynamic year last year. So I think Teller could crack the list if we're just going off 2020 tape. If we're just going off 2020 seasons into 2021. Wyatt Teller has a good chance to be on there. And then it should be a sleeper because he was an all-pro, but I think Jack Conklin might also make an appearance.
I think you're right. I think those two are definitely going to be consideration. Joel Bitonio has a chance. They love him. They love his pass blocking grades. I don't know that he gets on. I think the only real list I've seen, though, was the laughable list from what's his name? Who is he from CBS? It was so bad.
Was
his top 100. Pete Prisco.
Oh, it was horrible.
God. So bad. Listen,
Jack
man.
Jack Conklin not even on the top 100. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Pete's been around the league for a long time, and, like, respect for that man, but you can't put that list out and then argue with the people that he was arguing with about it.
Oh, no, not at all.
Spend all their hours watching this stuff, and it's like, okay, man, you do you, but, like, you're not really looking great here. So,
no.
John Johnson is a guy that I think in the process of looking at, like, Grant Delpit and all these guys coming back from injury, you get excited about JOK, you get excited about Clowney. Oh, yeah, they got a really good safety. I think we will soon be reminded of how good he is because he's going to make a massive impact. Another kind of trivia question for you here because I got one more closing question after this one, Corey. Okay. So a crazy better, man. These people with their money are stupid. He put $700 on the Browns, 250-1 odds to come away with the worst record in the NFL. Oh, so to me, it's like peeing away your money. But if he hits it, it's a $175,000 profit. There have been five teams to go in the Super Bowl era, five teams to go from playoffs to just out and the worst record the next year. So immediately going from the playoffs to gone in the next year. So let's see if you have any idea what any of these teams could be off the top of your head. I will give you the first one. While you think about some more modern ones, the first one you would never get. Okay? I would be absolutely stunned. It's 93, Houston Oilers go to the playoffs, run and shoot, Warren Moon shredding the league. And then 94, they traded away Warren Moon, and it all went to hell. They finished 2-14. They did draft a young man named Steve McNair, though, so it worked out. This is the kind of the ironic thing about this whole list is who these teams drafted. But that's the first one. The other one involves a Hall of Fame quarterback, one year to the next. Any idea?
1 year to
late
the
90s.
Late
yep,
90s,
so
Hall of
terrible
Fame
team. Then they draft a Hall of Fame quarterback late 90s.
Oh,
you're mad
man.
At yourself if you don't get this one.
Late 90s.
A very enigmatic coach was the quarterback of these teams before they tanked and ended up getting the Hall of Fame quarterback.
Enigmatic coach. Getting a Hall of Fame quarterback. I want to...
I got a timeout. 1996, Colts with Jim Harbaugh went 9-7. Then the next year they went 3-13 in 97. 96, they go 9-7, lose the wild card. They get blown out by Pittsburgh. 97, 3-13, they draft a young man named Peyton Manning out of Tennessee. All right, keeping going. 2002.
Not,
these are tough. This is these are good for our listeners, too, because this is like flashback city here. 2002 is the next team. They had gone to the Super Bowl in 2000, lost it. Then 2002 comes, and they have a playoff year where they lose in one of the wildest finishes that probably is never talked about. This team was up 38-14, lost in the wild card, up 38-14, lost. And the play that they lost on was a botched field goal hold. So then in 2003, they go 4-12 and end up drafting the brother of the quarterback we just talked about.
Oh, it's the Giants.
It is the Giants. So they went to Super Bowl in 2000, lost to the Ravens. This is Jim Fossil, rest in peace, recently passed away. That game, I was watching some highlights of that game. Pretty crazy, 39-38. I didn't know. I can remember that they were up 38-14, but they botched the hold, and that's when the ball was thrown downfield, and like there was a pass interference on the lineman trying to catch it, and they didn't call it, which is funny. But that they went 4-12 in 2003. They drafted Eli and won some Super Bowls. Now another team, 2010. We're getting more recent. This one you should know. Okay, 2010. Go to the playoffs. They go 10-6. Upset by the Jets in the wild card round. The next year they go 2-14. Then in 2012's draft they draft an elite quarterback.
Okay.
You got to get this one.
2012 they draft an elite quarterback?
Yeah, the 2011 year they went 2-14 And then 2012 draft. It's the Colts again. Ironically enough, they lost Manning, who went out for that year. They go 2-14. They draft Andrew Luck. The last one's 2012 into 2013. I did not remember this one whatsoever. So the 2012 team goes 12-4, lose to the Patriots in the divisional round. And then 2013, they start out 2-0 before finishing 2-14. And then they end up drafting a player with that high pick that is now on the Cleveland Browns roster.
Yeah, it's the Texans.
That'd be the Texans.
I was trying to think who had the first pick in the 2014 draft. The Texans. So
they did Clowney. Yeah. So that's what the guy bet. $700 that the Browns go from 11-5 in the playoffs, 12 wins, 12-5 total after the whole thing, and then they go to the worst record in the league. So it had to be a lot of injuries, for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that happens. Anyway, listen, before I go, I think a fun topic for some folks has been the conversation around extensions. We're not going to do this thing where we go through all these guys and talk extensions, but I give you the Andrew Berry figurative wand here. You can go into this thing and you can sign one guy. You can guarantee you're going to get him at a good rate. You're going to keep him for a nice second or third contract, whatever the guy is you pick. Reasonably good rate, market value rate. Let's put it that way. Who's your wand going to? You can bring
any expiring deal.
Yeah, like a guy who you know of the players. The Browns have this weird thing where they decided to draft well all at one time, so they don't stagger their guys like a lot of teams do. They got to assign all these SOBs at one time. So you get the wand here. You can get one contract done before the season. Who you using that contract on?
I'm going Denzel Ward.
I couldn't agree more. Give me your reasoning.
One, I believe the outside of quarterback, cornerback is the most important position in football. And I don't think you could ever have too many corners. And looking at the Browns roster, you have Troy Hill, who's here for 2 years. Probably he's not seeing that. I don't even know if he has a third year, but probably 2 years. And then we have Greedy Williams, who hasn't played in a year and a half. And then Greg Newsome, who's also missed quite a bit of time. And I get that Denzel Ward has also missed quite a bit of time, but I think Denzel Ward is closer to being an elite cornerback than he is to being just slightly above average. I think a healthy Denzel Ward for an entire season, which last year I think he got chipped a little bit with the COVID protocols, but we saw a very good Denzel Ward. And when you're going up against, if you're talking about competing with the Kansas City Chiefs, if you're talking about the Miami Dolphins, just added a ton of speed to their lineup. These are the teams that are probably going to be the Buffalo Bills. These are the teams, the Ravens. These are the teams that are going to be you're going to be competing with every year, and they're 3-4 deep at wide receiver. So, give me as many cornerbacks as possible.
Yeah, give me a really good one. And he hasn't had like a major ligament tear. He hasn't had anything crazy happen. He's just had nagging soft tissue injuries that happen, and he's got the concussion thing out of the way. I thought he's bounced back after his rookie year really well with those. So again, as a guy, you don't want to sit here and eliminate the possibility of a guy long term just because he's got some nagging soft tissue. Those things can go away. If you get stronger, your body develops. He's still 24, man. I know I talk about this on this podcast all the time. Still 24, he's got a lot of growing to do. He could get stronger, and you don't want to send him off to another team and then he's plays 8 straight years without missing a game, and you're like, we're idiots. Why did we do that? So sign him. Keep him. Make him happy. Yeah. He wants to be a Cleveland guy his whole life. He's obviously grown up around the area. He stayed in Ohio. Make it happen. So I'm with you. Yeah. Great decision. Corey, you're the best, man. Thanks for joining on short notice. We really appreciate your insights, man.
Absolutely. Anytime, Jake.
Okay, big shout out to Corey for joining us, taking some time. I shot him a DM at like, I don't know, 10 o'clock, and he was willing to come on the show. That takes a lot of guts, you know, to be able to do that for somebody. So I appreciate Corey taking time, man, for helping us out and tackling a really serious topic. And I know people in my life who have dealt with that topic, continue to deal with that topic of being open and transparent about their sexual preferences. And I hope if you have anybody in your life who needs that help, who needs the urge to do what's right for them, you know, their mental psyche, that you can be there for them. I try to pride myself on doing that for folks as best I can. Not perfect. None of us are. But I try my best. And I'm really happy for Carl and happy for his family. And really, really nice to see the way the NFL has reacted to this. And I hope that continues to happen. And I think it will. So exciting stuff. And that's a wrap for today. Make sure, again, you spread the word on this podcast. Download it. If you can subscribe, because then it automatically downloads, you can leave me a nice 5-star review if you would like. But just listening is enough. I appreciate it. The numbers have been really strong in a really tough time of year to put out consistent podcast work. We're going to get to training camp, and then we're going to get to the season. We're going to have a ton of fun things to talk about. So many great ideas for this thing. So stick with us. I hope you enjoyed this content. Hopefully you enjoyed today. And again, thank you to Corey for joining us. So until we talk next time, we'll be back on Wednesday. Should have a pretty fun topic for us to tackle on Wednesday too. So look forward to you guys listening to that one as well. Until next time, guys. Appreciate you. Go Browns.